Harvey Fierstein once described himself as the first real live-out-of-the-closet homosexual on Broadway. Fierstein is one of the few people who have crossed over from non-commercial gay theater to Broadway and Hollywood. The show he wrote and starred in, Torch Song Trilogy, became a hit on Broadway. Fierstein won 2 Tonys for Best Actor and Best Play. Last year, he wrote the screenplay and starred in a film of Torch Song. It's now out on home video. Fierstein also wrote the book for the hit Broadway musical La Cage aux Folles. In the film of Torch Song Trilogy, Fierstein plays Arnold Beckoff, the gay man who performs nights in a drag show. Anne Bancroft is his mother, Matthew Broderick and Brian Kerwin co-star as his lovers. In an article on the history of gay theater, Don Shuey wrote that it was surprising that the play that brought the gay theater and Broadway together was about a drag queen and contained explicit references to anal sex and a rousing conclusion in which a nice Jewish mother is told she can pack up her bunny slippers and go back to Miami if she can't accept her son's gay lifestyle. I asked Harvey Fierstein if there was pressure on him from his film company or from other people to tone down Torch Song when he moved it from Broadway to Hollywood.
Yeah, from other people, I mean, they felt that there should be a really big star in the role of Arnold.
That must have made you real happy.
Well, I said, fine. You know, I said, absolutely fine. There's lots of big stars that are gay. Let one of them come out and play it.
Mm-hmm.
And but, of course, that's asking the impossible. So the only people that were even talked about were heterosexuals. You know, there's a thing in Hollywood. Thousands of gay people every day play heterosexual. Nobody ever says a word about it. As soon as a heterosexual plays a gay, oh, they throw all kinds of awards at them and say how brave they are and all that. And I didn't want Torch Song to be part of that.
Uh-huh.
Torch Song meant too much to me and too much to the gay community and to too many people that just appreciate honesty. And I didn't want Torch Song just being something else where a heterosexual comes along and puts a little eyeshadow on and says, oh, I'm gay.
Torch Song was written by you before AIDS, and it's set in the 1970s. Did you find that some people wanted you to preach or moralize about safe sex, even though it was set before AIDS?
No, absolutely. Nobody wanted me to talk about safe sex.
Uh-huh.
I mean, people did ask, you know, how I would treat it. I just think that people have to keep in mind that a very tiny percent of gay people have AIDS. The media has done a horrible, disgusting, lying job on the American public of trying to say homosexuality equals AIDS and vice versa, and that is a lie, and it is ugly, vicious lie. But I felt that it was really important, especially now that gay people get to see themselves as something other than a high-risk group. We are human beings. AIDS is only a virus. It is not part of us. It is a disease that did get into the gay community and get passed around. But if you look at any of the figures, you can see that the gay community now has taken responsibility. And the new cases are not among gay people. They're among heterosexuals. And I was not going to allow my work to be used to continue this lie.
My guest is Harvey Fierstein, who wrote the screenplay and stars in Torch Song Trilogy, which is based on his hit Broadway show. You're really one of the few out-of-the-closet actors or writers on Broadway or Hollywood, which is really ironic because we all know that there's a lot of gays in the entertainment business. Has that been strange for you, knowing that a lot of people are gay, but that they can't really come out?
Well, they can come out. It's what's hard for me is remembering that I can't talk about them.
Right. Well,
because
that's right.
Their choice.
Exactly.
Because their choice is to lie about their lives. I can't. You know, like when somebody says, well, who is gay in Hollywood? You know, it's almost like saying, go ahead, Harvey, name names or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's puts me in a very, very strange position because I can't. And it puts them in a strange position because they have to live their life as a lie. I don't know how they do it. I really don't.
Well, you know, you were talking about how you didn't want a heterosexual to do this big stretch and play a gay man, you know, starring in Torch Song. On the other hand, I could think of probably a lot of gay actors who might have been reluctant to take on such a role because they might have feared that it would get them out of the closet.
Yeah.
You know, a heterosexual can always bring their celebrity girlfriend to a big party and say, no, I'm not gay, I was just acting. But if you really are gay and you don't want to come out, it might be a problem to play a gay role. Had you run across that kind of thing?
Yeah, of course. That's only natural. I mean, if you're going to lie, then you don't want to. Then you want to play things as opposite you as you can.
Is it difficult to cast heterosexuals in gay roles? I mean, Matthew Broderick, for instance, who plays one of your characters' lovers in Torch Song Trilogy, is heterosexual. Or at least I'm assuming that he is.
Yes. Well, that's. I think you just hit right. one of the things right on the head, which is that the world basically assumes that everyone's heterosexual.
Well, I've been reading so much about his relationship with Jennifer Grey that you know. But
don't talk about that stuff.
All right. Well, no. But here's what I wanted to know, though. That
leave my baby's life alone. Remember, you're not only talking about my lover, you're talking about my son.
That's right, from Broadway.
Right, of course. Right. I gave Matthew his first job, and he played my son in Torch Song.
Right.
And we've been friends for all these years, and now we had a switch to play lovers. But as soon as the movie was over, yeah. he went right back to being my son. So, you know, I have a mother's protectiveness. So don't talk about my son.
Let's leave him out of it. But, I mean, I would imagine that you'd want some kind of, like, assurance beforehand that if a heterosexual actor is playing the role of a gay man, that they're not going to be uncomfortable with it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I had that assurance, obviously, because Matthew had played my gay son.
Right.
I mean, he didn't just play my son, he played my gay son. And I knew Matthew wasn't uptight about it at all. Brian Kerwin, who plays my other lover in the movie, had done Torch Song, and I knew he wasn't uptight at all. In fact, Brian was the most unuptight of anybody. I mean, he made me look uptight because Brian wasn't scared. Brian is, when somebody's really sure of their own sexuality and they have a confidence in their own life, they can do anything. That's one of the problems of gay actors who won't admit that they're gay. It limits them incredibly because, you know, you can't be somebody else if you don't even know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But Brian does, and so Brian wasn't uptight at all about playing the role.
Harvey Fierstein is my guest, and he wrote the screenplay and stars in the new film Torch Song Trilogy.
A fabulous movie.
Now, you were really virtually never in the closet, as far as I know. I think you came out when you were 13.
Yeah, I was always too fat to stay in the closet. It's very crowded in there. I once had, you know, I'll tell you a closet joke.
Okay.
A New York columnist, rather bitchy one, named Cindy Adams, was doing a piece on my apartment, which had just been decorated, you know, doing one of those at-home pieces. And all she wanted to do was open my closet doors and find dresses. And I said, why would I have dresses in the closet? She said, well, you play it, drag queen, on stage. And I said, but I play it on stage. And anyway, she was not satisfied until she went through every single one of my closets and found no dresses. Another time, Mayor Koch came to see me in Torch Song. And so he wanted to come backstage and say hello afterwards. So the secret police come into the dressing room, you know, to make sure there are no bombs or murderers or whatever. So they look around the dressing room, and then they said, do you mind if we search your closet? I said, honey, if you have to look in my closet, you haven't seen the show. My closets are empty.
How did you tell your parents when you came out?
I didn't. I didn't have to.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they knew I knew. Everybody knew. I mean, it was, obviously there was a time when we put a name to it, but before that, everybody sort of knew. As my brother once said in an interview, Harvey was just always Harvey, and we just sort of accepted Harvey as Harvey. And I mean, I was brought up, what I like to think correctly, in being taught that self-respect was everything.
Anne Bancroft plays your mother in the film version of Torch Song, and I want to play a clip from the movie in which
isn't this radio?
Yeah, we're just going to hear it. We're not going to see it.
Oh, okay.
So this is a scene after your lover has been beaten on the streets by homophobes.
Not beaten, murdered.
Murdered, yeah, beaten to death. The mother comes, and she's recently lost her husband, your father in the movie.
Right.
And she's still suffering her loss, but can't comprehend your loss. It seems kind of insignificant to her that, you know, a lover who you didn't know all that long. And also, you've just told her. You know, you had withheld the information from her in the movie. And so she's just recently found out. So here's a kind of argument between the mother, played by Anne Bancroft, and the man, played by you.
If I had ever opened a mouth to my mother the way you did to me, you'd be talking to a woman with a size 6 wedgie sticking out of her forehead. But I didn't raise my children like that. I wanted my children to respect me because they wanted to, not because I beat it into them. Go now.
You're gonna start this all over again now.
Yes! Because it's not fair to put all the blame on me. You think I didn't know about you, Arnold? Believe me, I knew. I knew. But I said no. I hoped. What's the difference? I knew when I turned my back. I wasn't the only one. You turned your back on me, too. You opened a mouth to me about your friend Alan. How was I supposed to know?
All of a sudden, you would have understood.
Maybe. You don't know. You never trusted me enough to tell me. You never said a word.
So you could have said what? He's better off dead, right?
Maybe I could have comforted you. Maybe I could have told you what to expect. You cheated me out of your life and then blamed me for not being there.
That's a scene that you wrote for you and Anne Bancroft.
Right.
Were there scenes like that at all in your family? Is that,
no, because see, the problem between Arnold and his mother is that, and she puts it quite well, even if I had to write it myself, she puts it quite well in that scene, which is Arnold always talked about his sex life. She says earlier, you shoved your sex life down my throat every hour on the hour like aspirin. But he never, ever said that he loved the guy. And she always saw Arnold as somebody who was homosexual, meaning that he had sex with guys, but never stopped to realize that he possibly had an emotional life with these people. And what she says in that scene is, you cut me out of your life. You never told me. You cut me out of your life, then you blame me for not being there. And that has to do with honesty. It's not enough to be partially honest. I think you either share your life with somebody or you don't. It's not enough to say, I have sex with guys. You have to discuss that you actually love somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's very correct. And no, I didn't have those scenes because I discuss my emotional life with my mother. I discuss my emotional life with my brother. We have a very close family. We discuss everything. So no, we don't have those kind of problems. I think those are the kind of problems you have when you don't really accept yourself.
Now, you grew up in Bensonhurst, which is in Brooklyn, New York. It was, at least then, when you were growing up, I think, a predominantly Jewish, middle-class neighborhood of
Italian, well, yeah.
Jewish and Italian, okay. And of mostly middle-class families.
Yeah.
Middle-class and working-class families. Did you know any gays when you were growing up? How did you find, like, a gay community, other gay people?
I went to Manhattan like most
right,
people
right.
do.
Exactly.
The joke, of course, uh-huh. is that several of my friends, my childhood friends, who I lost touch with over the years, mm-hmm. all of a sudden I've found again, were also gay.
And you didn't know?
No, of course. I mean, we were prepubescent.
Yeah.
Such things weren't talked about. You know, as kids do, we called each other fag. And had no idea we all really were. So, I remember I went through a point where I was like telling my mother, oh, I ran into this one, I ran into that one, you know, he's gay, she's gay. And my mother said, what was it with you? I said, I don't know, maybe it was the water. Maybe something in the water there in Bensonhurst. I don't know. But, there are gay people everywhere. It's just that you have to go looking for a community because we're so invisible.
How did you start doing drag shows?
It was totally by mistake, like most of life. actually, there's no such thing as a mistake. There are only accidents. And I auditioned for Andy Warhol, who was doing his one and only play called Pork. And I got it, and they put me in a dress, and away I went. Kind of simple.
Did you do drag shows in a character similar to the character you do in Torch Song? And you do a personality called Virginia Ham.
Yeah, I tried it, but I really wasn't very good at it. I'm sort of not a good cabaret performer. I need an audience pointed right at me with no sharp instruments in their hands, like, you know, knives and forks, and certainly no booze in them. So I wasn't very good in cabaret. I was much better in theater, so that's where I went.
What kind of numbers did you do in the cabaret?
Bad ones. I did do Victoria de Los Angeles singing Sempre Libra. That was sort of my highlight. I was just terrible. You want me to say it, I'll say it. I stunk. I was awful. I ate it. It was terrible.
That's what I was looking for.
You know you're bad. You know you're bad when after the third time you've done your show, every time you get up to a punchline, the bartender screams it out from the back of the room. You know you're bombing bad.
Did you want to be good? Did you want to do a drag show? I mean, did that fulfill an ambition of yours, or did you just kind of fall into it?
I sort of fell into it. Somebody wanted to produce me in a drag show. I had a friend of mine who was a cabaret performer, a woman, and she wanted to do a show, and we sort of looked for a gimmick, and the gimmick was this show that we put together called Sisters. And she was great, and I was terrible, but they didn't want to see her because she was a real woman. And they didn't want to see me because I was awful. So life went on, you know. It was that certain summer, you know. Mm. And after that, life went on. And I was able, of course, to use my experiences there to create the drag show that's in the movie.
Something I meant to ask you earlier, but I want to get back to. Your character in the movie, who is a professional drag queen, he performs at night in a drag club, says at some point that he's afraid that gays will at some point do with drag queens what blacks did with
Aunt Jemima
and Amos and Andy, sweep them under the rug.
Right.
And I'd like you to elaborate on that.
Well, for years there have been battles over the gay pride day parades, you know, to not let drag queens march in the parade or not let people in leather march in the parade, you know, that we should be presenting this sort of nice look to the public. Because, of course, the joke is that the media goes in and you can have 500,000 people dressed like everyday people in a parade. That's not who they're going to show on the news. They're going to show the three drag queens that are there. And there's always this big discussion. Do we tell them not to come? Do we make the media not cover them? And in the long run, what has to be done is that we have to accept all of us. We have to accept all of our community. We can't just say only people dressed like regular people allowed. But there is a great prejudice among many gay people against the more flamboyant gay people.
Harvey, can I ask you about your voice?
What about my voice? What about my voice?
It's very deep and kind of raspy, and I was wondering if your voice had always been like that, or if it's...
Well, it was at 9 this morning.
Uh-huh.
Call me about 4. I'll tell you if it's still like that. Yes, it's always been like this.
What kinds of books or movies or shows were you able to see or read that you felt portrayed the life you knew or the people you knew or yourself in some way that you could really identify with?
Well, not many gay ones. I mean, there were whatever gay pieces there were did not reflect my life at all, but I was thrilled to see a gay person. Just glad to know that somebody admitted we existed. I mean, there were films when I was growing up like Sunday Bloody Sunday, Boys in the Band, Staircase, The Gay Deceivers. They were either camp or tragedy, with nothing like a normal life ever shown. And certainly nobody ever loved normally in those films. And so that's what I needed. I remember the great hoopla. I guess I was in my first year of high school when a film called The Fox came out, and there was all this hoopla that there was, you know, sort of this lesbian relationship in it. And Killing of Sister George was another one. And I, you know, as a gay teenager, ran to all of them trying to find a little piece of myself. Unfortunately, most times I found more of myself in old Cary Grant pictures. I mean, at least they had something to do with my life.
Mm-hmm. What?
They were human beings.
Uh-huh.
They were just seen as human beings. You know, not as something sensationalistic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let me ask you, you know, a lot of celebrities, which you are becoming or have become already, are very guarded about talking about their personal life, or at least they pretend to be. And some people, no matter how much they want press, they want to at least maintain the image of privacy. You're, I think, pretty open about your life. And I was wondering if you felt almost like a responsibility to do that in consciousness-raising terms.
I guess I made a decision that I would sacrifice that part of my life. I mean, obviously, I don't tell the truth about everything in my life.
Right.
But I made a decision to sacrifice that kind of privacy so that people will see a gay person having the everyday problems that straight people have, to realize that we all do have exactly the same problems. So I have, with my lover's permission, been public about our life together, just they see us as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
At the Hollywood opening of Tort Song, my lover and I were walking, holding hands, and the press asked us you know, to separate as nicely as I could so they could get pictures of me not holding this man's hand. So I said, fine. And I put my hand into Brian Kerwin's hand, and we walked hand in hand instead. So when they cropped the picture, they just cut our hands out.
Really?
To publish the picture, yeah.
Well, why? I mean, you're out. I mean, what?
Because the press still doesn't realize that I'm happy. Still doesn't realize that I actually accept being gay, that Brian is not upset about being a straight person holding a man's hand. I mean, that, like I said, my feeling is the American public is a loving, beautiful public. It is the media that think they have to protect the American public from human beings.
And I should just mention here that the Brian you're referring to, Brian Kerwin, stars in the movie of Torchstone Trilogy.
Yes, he plays
your lover in it. Well, I want to thank you very much for sharing some of your time with us today. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Now tell him how much you love the movie.
Thanks for doing the interview.
Bye-bye.